Parsha Shmos, because of the remez here at the beginning, as we'll soon see, I'd like to discuss with you today Aramaic, Targum, and its relationship to the Torah, to Torah Shebichsav, its role, its status. And the backdrop to our discussion today is Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum. The Gemara establishes in Brochos, on Daf Ches, on Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, Rav Ami Liolam, Yashlim, Odom Parshiosov, Imatzibur, Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum. And before we see the rest of the Gemara, what we know is that on a weekly basis, from the beginning of the week, culminating in Shabbos, we should be reading Pasuk by Pasuk, one Pasuk in the Parsha of the week, with a follow-up of Targum and a follow-up of repeating the Pasuk. So we're going to read each Pasuk three times, twice in Mikra, but once in Targum. And the Rishonim find a remez for this right here at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, V'Eilu Shmos B'nei Yisrael. And the Baal HaTurim says that if you look at the Reshei Tevis of V'Eilu Shmos B'nei Yisrael, you'll see that the word V'Eilu could be interpreted with the Vav Aleph Lamed Hey as V'Odom Asher Lomed HaSeder. And then Shmos with the Shin Mem Vav Tov is Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum. B'nei is B'kol Na'im Yashir. Yisrael Yichye Shonim Rabos Aruchim Liolam. So the emphasis here is to learn the Seder of the Torah, Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum, with a beautiful voice, a singing voice, and it's a skula for Shonim Rabos, for a long life. Yichye Shonim Rabos Aruchos Liolam. So these are the Ramazim based on Rashi Tevis, which the Baal HaTurim finds in this Pasuk V'Eilu Shmos B'nei Yisrael. We'll see that the balance of the Pasuk is also, according to one of the Rishonim, a group of Rashi Tevis, which embellishes the Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum even further. In terms of the Chiyuv of Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's also brought down in the Levush. Levush really embellishes it. In Hilchas Shabbos, Simon Reish Pei Hei, he writes, Chivu Chazal, Hal Kol Onam Yisrael, Sheyashlim Parshiosav, B'chol Shavua, Matzibur, Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum. What's the purpose? Kedei Sheyeh Baki B'Torah. You know, if he does this year in and year out, he becomes an absolute expert in Torah. V'simonach, and a simon for his V'Eilu Shmos B'nei Yisrael. And he interprets the V'Eilu as V'chayev Odom Likros HaParsha. Slightly different than what we saw in the Baal HaTurim, V'Odom Asher Lomed HaSeder. Here it's V'chayev Odom Likros HaParsha. Everyone agrees that Shmos is Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum. And instead of making B'nai Yisrael into Rashi Tevis, he says V'zeh Chayovim Kol B'nai Yisrael. Every member of the Jewish people is chayav. V'chol ha'osekein ma'richin lo yomav u'shnosav, that we saw quoted in the tour in a slightly different nusach, but that's really the Gemara in Brachos that we didn't get a chance to complete yet. The Gemara says that ha'mashlim parshiosim etzibra ma'richin lo yomav u'shnosav. Now, let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Vafilu atoros v'divon. These also require Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum. What's atoros v'divon? These are names of places that don't have a Targum. Says the Levush, therefore, Afilu psukim shein lehem Targum, kagon atoros v'divon. They too have to be repeated. So I guess what the Levush is advocating is that in the case of Atoros V'Divon, we read the Pasuk three times. V'hu Adin, says the Levush, Ruvim V'Shimon. These are names that don't have a Targum. They don't have a translation. V'chayotzi bo, and others. Chayev Likros, Sholosh Pamim. Shtei Pamim B'Mokom Mikra. U'Pam Achas B'Mokom HaTargum. So the number three is critical. Everything has to be read three times. just that the Targum is considered one of the readings. Now, if there's no Targum, then you need another reading in Lashon Kodesh, and that's going to be the third, and that's going to complete the set of three. In Elio Rava, one of the great commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Lechem Chamudos, who was medagdic to say that Shnayim is Lashon Zachar. He could have said Shtayim if it was referring to Parshios, because the word Parsha is Lashon Nekeva. So do the Parsha twice would have been Shtayim Mikra, but it says Shnayim Mikra B'Lashon Zachar to tell us that we have to read each Pasuk individually and embellish it with one reading and then Targum and then a second reading. And this is Lashon Zachar because Pasuk is Lashon Zachar. Had it referring to read the Parsha as a whole once and then Targum and then another time, then it should have said Shtayim. And he brings a whole bunch of sources to this effect that we should be reading each Pasuk. Now again, there's a great deal of discussion here about why we should be reading individual Pesukim and Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum on each Pasuk. There are different Kiyumim in Talmud Torah. There's a Kiyum of Pesukim. There's a Kiyum of Parshios. Here the Kiyum, the emphasis is on the Pesukim. Now when he gets to the last Pasuk of an entire Parsha, then the Magen Avraham writes, V'hasiyum ha-Pasuk ha-Achron, Amru achara targum kidei l'sayim b'torah. So he wants to be careful that although you can read the pasuk twice and then follow it with targum, that's called shnayim mikra vechet targum in that sequence, but when you get to the last pasuk you want to end b'loshon kodesh, so now targum becomes sandwiched between two readings of the mikra. Now we mentioned that there are other rishonim who saw Rashi Tevis in our Pasuk a little bit differently than the Bala Turim, and that's one of the Bala HaTosvis from Ashkenaz, Rabbeinu Ephraim, who's quoted in a bunch of different Sfarim, and he goes through the entire Pasuk of the Eile Shmos Bnei Yisrael Haboyim Mitzrayma Es Yaakov Ish Ubeso Bo. It's a very long pasuk when you break it down into individual letters, and each letter is the beginning of a word. He has for Ve'ela v'chayev adam likros haparsha, which is again a similar idea to what we saw in the Bala Turim, and it was explicit in the Levush. It's possible that the Levush, when he set up the Rashi Tevis for Ve'ela v'chayev adam likros haparsha, he was taking it, copying it from Rabbeinu Ephraim. And then, of course, V'chayev, V'eileh, Shmos, Shnayim Mikra, Ketargum, that's clear, that's universal. And then, B'nei Yisrael. B'nei is Beis Nun Yud, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, B'tameh, Neguna, Yikre'ena. You should read it with the Tamim, with Trup. And then Yisrael means Yismach Simcha Rabba Im Lomda. He should, every mitzvah requires simcha, but certainly Talmud Torah requires simcha. Haboim, ha'osek b'talmud, eino yore me'onshim. Here's a skula for studying Torah, and it protects you from onshim. And then Mitzrayma is mikol tzoras rabas yutzolu mishnanei ha'Torah. Those who repeat Torah and study Torah will be spared of Tzoros Rabos. Or, for example, in the last two letters of Mitzrayma, instead of Mishanenei HaTorah, he offers another suggestion, Melamdei HaTinokos. You get the impression that it's a creative process here. Whatever you can come up with that fits into the context here, Melamdei HaTinokos, they will be spared Tzoros Rabbis, because they're already instructing giving exercises for the children to make sure they get used to the shmung of Shnayim Mikra. Now, after the word Mitzrayma, we have Ace, and he says that El Talmudo. And then we have Yaakov, which is Yud Ayin Kuf Dalet is Yechidim Asu Kibbutz Belimudechem. I'm not sure if he means that it's a Chovas Yachid, but it also has some sort of a Kiyum Tzibur, and perhaps that Kiyum Tzibur really culminates in the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, I don't know. And then he says, Ish is Oz Yiskayim Shinunechem, there'll be a Kiyum, there'll be a continuation, you won't forget, you're learning. And then it says, Ubeso V'alomed Balayla Yisaneg Tomid V'yavurach. Perhaps Rabbeinu Ephraim is assuming that to set up and dedicate time for Shnayim Mikrovech and Targum, it's quite time consuming, that you may have to dedicate your nights to that, and that'll give you an extra bracha, because Limud Torah at night, Kumi Roni Balayla, is a separate cue that enhances your mitzvah. And then finally, Ba'u is Bechesed Elokim Ubetovosov, meaning that you'll be zoche to all the chesed of Hashem. And basically this entire pasuk there at the beginning of Shmos is now not only obligating and strongly recommending Shnayim Mikrovech HaTavrim, it's also enticing you to get involved and dedicate time to this, especially at night, because of all the skulos, the protections. But again, it's got to be read b'simcha, and you'll be spared of punishments. The question here that we want to raise today is, why does the Torah set up this remez for Shnayim Mikra here at the beginning of Shmos? Maybe it belongs to the beginning of Bereishis. So if you take a look at the Chidah's Pirush, his Bir al Tanakh, called Chomas Anach, he writes, Sarach Lovin, my Shitya Duramos Zekan. What's the Shaykhus that it should be alluded to here at the beginning of Shmos? And he says, I have a, shall we say, a Kabbalistic explanation for this. And it's all based on something called Bir Minoga. Again, there are certain types of klipos in the world that have to be removed and refined and purified. These are Kabbalistic notions. He says that the purpose of Golos Mitzrayim was to be mevarer, to separate from these nogas the nitzotos of kedusha, the sparks of holiness, asher shom b'Mitzrayim ervas haaretz b'kach shibudam b'chomer u'bilavenim. So all the work and the subjugation of the Jewish people was part of a process achieving the goal of freeing those nitzotos of kedusha that are trapped in the noga of Mitzrayim, the Ervas Haaretz, and therefore sowed Kriyas Parshas, Shnayim Mikrovech Targum, Hu Levar Minoga. This is a process of getting, so to speak, getting rid of the psolos, of the klipos. And how so? Because Chetzi V'chol V'chetzi V'kodesh. What that means is that we achieve a kind of a bridge, if you will, almost, if you can call it, an integration of Kodesh and Chol. And that's what we do. We enter into the Chol in order to free those nitzotzos of Kedush. And how is that reflected in Shnayim Mikrovech Targum? Where's the Chetzi B'Kodesh, Chetzi B'Chol? I thought that he meant that you start the process of Shnayim Mikrovech HaTargum during the weekday, which is Chol, and you culminate on Shabbos with the Kriyas HaTorah of the Tzibur, and that Kiyum of Tzibur with the Kriya on Shabbos, which is called Kodesh, retroactively impacts on the Chol, on the Shnayim Mikra that you started the past Sunday, and elevates that Mikra from Chol into Kodesh. But I'm not sure exactly what the Chidah really had in mind here. He goes on to say that Targum is Gematria Tardema, and again, these are Kabbalistic concepts, that Tardema has to do with this Noga that we spoke before. Ulechabra im hamikra kol posuk uposuk. The integration is not between the 6 days of the week and Shabbos, which is what we thought, but rather the integration of Targum, which is Noga, which is these klipos that are trapping and concealing Kedusha, and integrating that with Mikra. Mikra is pure, unadulterated Kedusha, insofar as it's in Lashon Kodesh, the language which Hashem spoke and gave the Torah, in the language which Hashem created the world. That's Kodesh. That's Lashon Kodesh. And then Targum is a vernacular that was spoken in Aram, the Aramaic language, and that is represented, or shall we say, mirrors the image of Noga, which we said was some sort of a klipa. Even though, again, the word Noga itself in Lashon Kodesh really means light or dawn or shining, radiance, these are all positive terms, but in the Kabbalistic language, or shall we say terminology, we're talking about the potential for light, but not the actual light. We're talking about integrating Chol with Kodesh and upgrading the Chol to Kodesh. In this case, Targum, because it's part of the process of Shnayim Mikra, is being elevated by the Kodesh and the Mikra, and that's a Bir of Noga. Bir of Noga, meaning to enter into Noga and free it of the nitzotz of Kedusha. And if he does, says Kemo Sheherech Rabbeinu HaArizal. So everything comes back to the Arizal and the Kabbalah of the Ari. The Chidah was influenced by the Ari, as so many others were. He says, therefore, the Chidah says, V'imkein yechavim mi'od kan b'shibi Mitzrayim. You know, when he approaches the implementation of the Shnayim Mikra V'yechet Targum, he should have in mind the Shibud Mitzrayim, Shehutzuchu L'chol Tokef HaShibud, that the purpose of this, of the full brunt and tremendous weight and difficulty that's indescribable of the Shibud of Mitzrayim, is for the purpose of Bir Nitzotzei HaKedush. It has a greater purpose. U'mi'ein Dugma Chiyuva Rami al kol odem Yisrael likros parsha shnayim mikra v'echad targum, and the concept of Shibud Mitzrayim b'chol tokef mirrors and parallels the process of shnayim mikra v'echad targum, to be mavar minoga, to take out from noga those nitzotz kedusha v'lichlol b'kedusha, and to integrate them into a world of sanctity, of holiness, of kedusha. So we have Bir Nitzotzei Kedusha from Noga in two ways, in Shibud Mitzrayim and in Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. In both cases, we're going down into the secular, into something that's Noga, that's Klipa, that's excluded from Kedusha, and we're penetrating therein to elevate it to Kedusha and integrate it into Kedusha. That's what we did in Shibud Mitzrayim, which is the discussion here at the beginning of Shmos, and that's the mitzvah of Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. The Targum itself, Tardema, is Noga, and it's Chol, and now it has to be integrated into the fabric, the matrix of Kedusha, in order to be Mavar the Nitzotzos, and that is exactly what we accomplished with Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. In that sense, Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum parallels, or is a mirror image of Shibud Mitzrayim. And even though when we first hear these concepts, they sound pretty way out, but when you get used to them, especially in a framework of mysticism and Kabbalah, they take on new meaning. He goes on to conclude his presentation by saying, Ksiv es Yaakov ish. There are three words here in our Pasuk, and he wants to look at Sofei Tevis, the last letters in these three words, Es Yaakov ish, which are Tav, Beis, and Shin. And if you rearrange those three letters, which are the Sofei Tevos of Es Yaakov Ish, you end up with the word Shabbos. And what that means is that Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum is a preparation for Shabbos, for the ultimate Kedusha of the week, which is Shabbos. B'sod V'hoya B'yom HaShishi V'Echinu Es Asher Yaviu, that they have to prepare during the week before Shabbos for Shabbos, they had to collect a double portion of man. And in general, we have a chiv vachana before Shabbos, which is probably the source for the Isur Muktzah if there was no hachana. All this, the entire process of and concept of preparing for Shabbos is inherent in both Shnayim Mikra Vechetargum and also in Haboyim Mitzrayim, coming down to Mitzrayim, because together with Yaakov, the Shechina comes down to Mitzrayim, and already the Shechina came down at the time of Yosef, and this ambiance of Shechina in Mitzrayim makes it feasible, makes it possible to be Mavar, this Noga, these Klipos, separate them and free the Nitzotzos of Kedusha. And that's what we're doing when we prepare for Shabbos, because ultimately, when we reach the level of Shabbos, we enter the Shabbos, that's the Kedusha that uplifts all that came before the Shabbos, V'yichinu es asher yaviu, the preparations that we did before Shabbos. And basically, we could suggest as a one-word summary of the presentation of the Chidah, synthesis, or alternatively, integration. And when we say synthesis and integration, we mean to take Kodesh, to take the Chol and lead up to Kodesh in such a way that the Kodesh now swallows up the Chol, elevates it, and it becomes one great, giant, magnificent integration of Kodesh and Chol. That happens when we prepare for Shabbos. That happens with Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum. That happens with Shiva Mitzrayim and the Shechina that comes down to Mitzrayim. All the Nitzotzos of Kiddush have to be freed from the Klipos and the Tuma of Ervas Haaretz of Mitzrayim. And therefore it makes sense that at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, when the Torah is presenting the Shiva of Mitzrayim, it hints at and alludes to Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. Now, I'd like to share with you another possible reason why the Remez for Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum appears here, of all places, at the beginning of Sefer Shmos. And this is based on a Tshuva Sefer of Rav Yosef Lieberman. He writes about, it's called Gamani Odeka. He writes, in response to a question about somebody who was derelict or didn't get around to Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, when he wakes up in the middle of the year, can he begin Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum for those Shabbosos that come from that point and on, even though he missed the beginning? And the questioner is asking about someone who knows that he'll never be able to be mashlim all the parshas that he left out for so many months. Is there any inyan, is there any purpose and goal to be achieved by beginning at that Sedra Mikano Lahaba and finish the year out if he can, and then maybe next year he'll start with Breishis? And the response that he got was that maybe that's exactly why the Torah put Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum here in Sefer Shmos. You know, Boker Tov, he woke up in Sefer Shmos. He did not fulfill his obligation of Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum during Breishis, but nevertheless he should start with Shmos. And he goes through the entire remes here, the Rashi Tevis of the entire pasuk that we saw earlier. And this is what he wants to say, that there's an inyan to start Shnayim Mikra with Parsha Shmos in event that he was not able or was derelict in his obligation vis-a-vis Sefer Breishis. And it's considered meaningful to begin wherever he can begin. Now, we mentioned before that in the Gemara in Brachos, there was a discussion about words or names and places that don't have a targum, like Ataras V'Dimon. And Tosus there says that, why does it mention Ataras V'Dimon? It could have mentioned Reuven V'Shimon. There are so many other names in Lashon Ivri that don't have any targum. And he says that the reason why Ataras V'Dimon was singled out here in the Gemara is because there is a Targum for Ataras V'Dimon, not Targum Unkelus, but at least there's a Targum Yerushalmi. Again, I'm not sure who authored the Targum Yerushalmi. Some say it's Yonasan Ben Uziel, but I don't think that's correct. And he writes that the reason why the Gemara mentions Ataras V'Dimon is to tell you that even though it doesn't have the famous classical Targum, these words, meaning Unculus, but nevertheless, since it's Targum Yerushalmi, then the best option for him would be to read it with Targum Yerushalmi, if he cannot find the Targum Unculus. It becomes a little bit complicated, because what he has to have in front of him is not just the Psukim, the Mikra, and not just the Targum Unculus, but now he has to have in front of him a fallback position, a Targum Yerushalmi, in event that there's no translation of the Psukim or the words of the Psukim in Targum Unculus. Now, they should really be printing this in a way that makes it easier for the person to be yotzei this mitzvah, and when it comes to Ataras V'Dimon, they should give us the Targum Yonis, the Targum Yerushalmi, so that we can fulfill this obligation of Targum vis-a-vis words that don't have a Targum Unculus. Okay. Now the tour summarizes this chiyuv of Shnayim Mikravech Targum in Siman Resh Pei Hei, and he speaks about Tzorech Lizoyer LeHashlim HaParashim HaTzibur, quotes the Gemara verbatim, the Gemara in Brachas Tav Ches. He speaks about the great Schar for Shnayim Mikravech Targum, and then he mentions in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim the Tosis that we just saw, meaning first he tells us Rashi's pshat that Ataras V'Divon have no Targum, period, and you have to read it therefore a third time around because the key number, as we said, was 3. In the case of the Yesh Mefarshim, the Torah says, and this is Tosus's own pshat, that there is a Targum for Ataras V'Divon, and therefore you're going to have to translate those words based on Targum Yerushalmi. And that's why the Gemara, as we said before, preferred mentioning Ataras V'Divon to Reuven V'Shimon. And it's quite possible that in the case of Reuven V'Shimon, since there is no Targum, not even Targum Yerushalmi, says the Torah, Eino Tzarech Likros Shalosh Pa'am, against Rashi. This Shita would say that in the case of words that have absolutely no Targum, there's no need to read it a third time around, which is very interesting because we kept saying and insisting that everything has to be read thrice, and one of them is Targum. If you don't have Targum, you should have to plug it in and replace it with Lashon Ivri and read it a third time around. But the Torah understands from Shitas HaTosis that the third time around is the Targum, and if there's any sort of Targum, even Targum Yerushalmi, then you'll have to avail yourself of that Targum. In the case of Reuven V'Shimon, there is no Targum, and therefore there's no third time around. He says, Nagu l'hachmir kirashi, kipirush rashi, v'im lomad parsha kipirush rashi, choshkmo Targum, fine. Now, there is a discussion that I want to introduce now about the remez in the word shmos, you know, Vela Shmos. And let me just take a look here at number 13, which is the Sefer Nefesh Yonos, and see if he adds anything. He summarizes Rashi and Tosus about Ataros V'Divon. He quotes the Tur. Anything else here of importance? Right. And then he says, Yesh Mefarshim, Denokar Ataros V'Divon, Fishi Yesh Sfarim Shekosvim Targum Yerushalmi. Fine. Okay, that's more or less a summary of what we saw here in the tour. Now, this use of Targum, which is really a foreign language, becomes very fascinating when you open up the Haggadah Shel Pesach, and the first paragraph in the Haggadah is the Holach Ma'anya, which is written in Aramaic. And we're talking now about the Lechem Oni that we eat tonight. Why is it in Aramaic? The famous classical Haggadah, the Zevach Pesach of the Abarbanel, he writes that since this paragraph contains an invitation in it, and that's called Dichvin Yesev Yechol, called Ditzuk Yesev Yifsach, then it should be addressing those who are in need and have to join you, and they speak Aramis, they don't necessarily understand Lashon Kodesh. For example, the Aniyim that you want to invite to your table, called Ditzuk Yesev V'yifsach, called Dichvin Yesev V'yechol, it makes sense to address the people, the Aniyim, in Lashon Arami. And that explains why the balance of the Haggadah is written in Lashon Ivri, Lashon Kodesh, but this paragraph, the opening one, which addresses the Aniyim and invites them in, has to be written in the local tongue. It could be, according to this pshat, we should recite Holach Ma'anya in English in order to invite the Aniyim and make sure they understand the invitation, because if we read it in any other language, like Aramis, they won't understand what you're talking about. And again, where the assumption here is that the Baal HaGadah was located in Bavel, where they spoke Aramaic at that time, and they weren't celebrating Chag HaPesach in Yerushalayim, unfortunately, and they wanted those Aniyim to be Somech al Shulchanim, to understand and appreciate the invitation in Golus, in Bavel, and therefore it was important that they introduce this invitation in Aramis. Again, that doesn't really link up to the Holach Ma'anya part, meaning the Lechem Oni, unless you want to say that since tonight is the night of Anius, not just Gula but Anius, then we should be thinking about the Aniyim befall. He writes the Zevach Pesach, Sidrum Gam Po Begolus, She is chayv kol balabais laharbos matnoso. There's a mitzvah of simchas yontif, and that means to be mesamech others like the aniyim. And therefore, kishayeshev al shulchano yorim kolo, he should raise his voice so they can hear him. El ha'aniyim, to the poor people, hashem v'pesach habayis, likro kulam b'shem Hashem, kol dichvin yesev v'yechal, kol ditzuk yesev v'yifsach. This should be a resounding invitation out loud. Sheavo lismoch al shulchano, and therefore, since the aniyim don't understand Lashon Kodesh, it's absolutely critical that it should be recited and belted out in Lashon Arami, so they should understand, and they should come into the house. And this is the great mitzvah of tzedakah, halofros l'ra'ev lachmecha, the Navi says. And we want to share our bread, in this case our matzah, with the ra'ev, with those who are hungry. And this is critical to be declared and transmitted in the language that's understood by the aniyim, in this case in Bavel, in Aramaic. Now, once we mention the Haggadah Shel Pesach, which again is all relevant to Sefer Shmos, and we're talking about the use of Targum, until now the impression you would get is that Targum is a good thing, and when necessary it shall be used as the mode of communication to make sure the Aniyim understand the invitation, and it has a status of Noga, of some sort of a klipa, of a potential for Kedusha. Maybe we could call it Chol, but because it's not Lashon Kodesh, but yet we can integrate it into Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targum, and in a sense inspire and elevate the status of Targum to one of something much, much higher in its connection to Lashon HaKodesh. But there's going to be, in our shiur, discussion about the flip side, the negative side, the downside to Targum. Until now, Targum has been presented as, in the worst case, call it neutral, with a great deal of potential for nitzotzos of Kedusha. And it might even be positive in the communicative sense, when we want to send the message to the Aniyim, they're welcome to come and join us on the Leil HaSedek. But from now and pretty much until the end of our discussion today, we're going to speak and address the negative, the downside. And the main parsha of the downside of Aramaic, is going to be the words in the parsha's Kisovo of Arami Oved Ovi. And again, those three words are interpreted in so many different ways. And we read this parsha, which is also known as Mikra Bikurim, on the Leil HaSeder, because we retrace the entire history of Klal Yisrael from the time of Mitzrayim all the way until, at least until Yetzias Mitzrayim, and possibly way beyond that. Say Laman. Now, if we're going back to the roots of Mitzrayim, of Vayered Mitzrayim, we actually have to go back to Arami Oved Ovi. Now, if we assume that Arami, the Arami here, who came from Aram, is Lavan, because it says Sei Laman in the Haggadah, Mabikesh Lavan Arami. So the Baal Haggadah apparently interpreted that Arami is a reference to Lavan Arami, and he was Oved Avi. He was worse than even Paro. Paro lo gazer al aschor v'lov bikesh lakar sakol, and that's called Oved Avi. He, the Arami Lavan, was trying to destroy Avi. And then in the same pasuk, in the same breath, Vayerid Mitzrayma, Vayogar Sham, and so forth and so on, the people went down to Mitzrayim. So obviously this connection to the Arami here is very critical, and Hashem is saving us and sparing us not only from Paro, the hands and claws of Paro, but also before Paro, from the hands of Lavan. And we have here a connection between Lavan HaRami and Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Vayered Mitzrayim. And one could easily walk away with the impression that somehow in the Arami Eifat Ovi, we have an answer to the question of why Vayered Mitzrayim? Why do the Jewish people go down to Mitzrayim? There are many different approaches to answer the question why Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, but the Baal Haggadah, at least on the simple reading, the level of simple reading, straightforward, is telling us Arami Oved Ovi. In these three words, Arami Oved Ovi, lie the secret to Vayered Mitzrayim, or why the Jewish people had to go down to Mitzrayim. And we're wondering now out loud, and this is what we want to develop, a thesis with regard to the Arami. Arami here is an emphasis on the language of Aram, and that's going to be the key and the cause to Yerida Mitzrayma. We find a certain sensitivity, or shall we say, an avoidance, an intuitive avoidance movement against Arami, against the Lashon Arami. And we find this in terms of the name of Rachel's second son. It says, B'tzeis Nafsha, she died at childbirth. And it says, Devatikra Shma Ben Oni. And it seems from Chazal in the Bereishis Rabbah that Ben Oni is actually Aramaic. And according to the Medrash Rabbah, Ben Oni in Hebrew would be Bar Tzari. And if we read this correctly, perhaps this is meant to explain, this Bereishis Rabbah, why it says V'aviv Karlo Binyamin, because although Rachel had a different name, her name was in Aramaic. So Yaakov is now being sensitive to try to avoid the use of Aramaic. When Yosef later on reveals his identity to his brothers, V'hine einechem ros, V'hine achi binyamin, Kifi hamedaber aleichem, Rashi says, Kifi hamedaber aleichem, B'loshen HaKodesh. So the way in which Yosef identifies himself, and there are deeper meanings here, is by speaking Lashon Kodesh to the brothers. So again, we have an emphasis here that Yaakov was interested in Lashon Kodesh, and he ignored the name Ben Oni, and replaced it with Binyamin b'lashon hakodesh. We see that Yosef, in order to identify himself to his brothers, he spoke lashon kodesh, and that's in a sense the password. He's in now. And from henceforth, the drama of Yosef reuniting with his brothers reveals itself in all its glory. Now, we know that there was a great posek, a great gadol by the name of the Shach, the Sifsei Kohen. His Rebbe was Rebbe Heschel, and he authored a book on Torah, which is called Chanukas HaTorah. And he has an interesting comment here that's relevant to our discussion today on the Pasuk Arami Ovid Avi Vayered Mitzrayma. And he quotes an earlier work, which is known as the Galya Raza, which literally translates as revealing secrets. And the Rebbe Rav Heschel quotes the following words from the Sefer Galya Raza. Or Rozia. He says, "Bishvil shehevi Yaakov Avinu loshen targum b'Torah." Yaakov Avinu is responsible for the addition of Arami of Targum into the Torah itself. The Torah is written in Loshen Kodesh, with this exception, as we'll soon see. And lachein karo yigar sahadusa. So let's read the pasuk in Parshas Vayetze. Vayikra lo Lavan Yigar Sa'adusa V'Yakov Karlo Gal'ed. Now, I'm not 100% sure if Gal'ed is Lashon Arami, but in the words of the Galya Razia, Yaakov Karo Gal'ed Mishvil Kach Bo Yisrael Begolos Mitzrayim. A mind-boggling concept here. He's revealing to us a truth that we would never access in a million years, that Yaakov Avinu is responsible for apparently speaking to and conversing, communicating with Lavan in Lashon Arami. And that's why we find that when they set up this gal of Avonim for a bris, a covenant between Lavan and Yaakov, Yaakov was talking to Lavan about the title of this monument that represents and is a memory for the bris, and Lavan calls it Yigar Sa'adusa, which is Aramis. Yaakov calls it Gal'ed. But Gal'ed really is not a word unto itself. It's a word that translates the Targum, or shall we say the Aramis of Yigar Sa'adusa. There seems to be a definite and deliberate project here on the part of the Torah itself, of Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if there was a dialogue between Lavan and Yaakov, that dialogue should be maintained, or at least part of it, in its original form. And what did Yaakov hear from Lavan? He heard Yigar Sa'adusa. And that's critical. And it's going to be incorporated into the Torah simply because the Torah is being accurate in its recording of the dialogue between Lavan and Yaakov, in which Lavan said Yigar Sa'adusa and Yaakov called it a Gal'ed. So we have now, according to the Galya Razia, a whole new interpretation of Acher Kach Bo Begolus, meaning the reason why the Jewish people went into Golus Mitzrayim is, I guess you can call it an outcome, maybe even a punishment, for the fact that Yaakov, in his insistence on communicating with Lavan in Aramis, was inadvertently the catalyst to bring about a situation in which Aramis, Lashon Targum, would be incorporated into the Torah itself. And we said before that Lashon Aramis has a certain stigma to it, a certain negativism to it. It's a klipas noga. And now to introduce that into the Guf HaTorah, which is pure Kodesh and Lashon HaKodesh, and Bo Yisrael B'Golos Mitzrayim, it's unbelievable.
And again, how guilty was Yaakov of this crime, I don't know. It's very hard to evaluate and weigh the guilt of this crime. The fact that Yigaras Adus is incorporated into the Torah is a decision made by the divine being himself when he dictated the Torah into the ears of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yigaras Adus. I don't know if Yaakov put those words Yigaras Adus into the mouth of Lavan. It was Lavan's words, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to incorporate them. But maybe because Yaakov spoke to Lavan, he spoke to his shver in Aramaic, that's why Lavan had to say Yigaras Adus, and that's why the Torah recorded it and made it immortal. And having seen this unbelievable chiddush of the Galya. Of the Galya Razia, now let's take a look at Rabbi Heschel and see how he builds on this chiddush. And he says, "Yesh lomar tizeh shomer akosu v'parshas vayeshev vayisu einayim vayiru v'hine orchas yishmaelim ba migilad." And at the end of this pasuk, holchim lahorid mitzrayma. In other words, this pasuk about the Orchas Yishma'elim introduces the Yerida of Yosef down to Mitzrayim, and it says, the Torah goes out of its way to mention that the Orchas Yerushalayim was coming from Gilad. Gilad are the exact same letters of Gal'ed, and we're talking about taking Yosef down to Mitzrayim. And in the wake of Yosef going down to Mitzrayim, ultimately all of Knesset Yisrael is going to go down to Mitzrayim. And this is all put into the context of Gal-Eid. Again, if you read Gil-Ad as Gal-Eid, which means Roy Shebo Mi Gal-Eid. It makes sense that they came from Gal-Eid. Hoyel She Yaakov Hevi Gal-Eid Loshen Targu BaTorah. And it seems from Rabbi Heschel that he understood that the word Gal-Eid is not Lashon Kodesh, it's Lashon Targum. Ulekach huchrak Yosef lahorid Mitzrayim. Yosef has to go down to Mitzrayim because Yaakov introduces into the Torah itself a Lashon of Targum when he calls it Gal-Eid. Again, you and I might not see why Gal-Eid is Lashon Aramis. After all, there's a Gal, and that Gal is a pile of stones, and Eid is it's a testimony to immortalize this contract that was entered into by both Yaakov and his father-in-law Binyamin. And here it says, Yaakov hevi Gal Eid Loshen Targum Torah L'kachuchach Yosef Lahorid Mitzrayim. Now it does seem, at the face of it, to be the punishment is disproportionate to the crime. Maybe Yaakov was guilty because he wasn't emphasizing Lashon Kodesh enough. I don't know if he should have spoken to Lavan in Lashon Kodesh. I don't know the level of knowledge and expertise of Lavan in Lashon Kodesh. I don't know. But because of that, Lahorid Mitzrayimah, and then the ultimate goal is, that's wild. But now he goes ahead and he says, this will shed a light on the Pasuk Arami Oved Avi chosen to introduce the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And the answer is that Arame Daika Oved Avi means Bishvil Shehevi Avi, where then the Avi here is not referring to Lavan, which is a big pillar that we should talk about Lavan here, but rather it's referring to Yaakov. So Avi means Yaakov. And Yaakov hevi loshen Arami. So it means Arami is our Av Yaakov. And what this pasuk is telling you, that why are we calling Yaakov Arami? Because he was responsible for bringing Arami into the Torah. Bizos goram shelakach huchrach lered Mitzrayim. Arami is going to be Oved Avi. The fact that my father, meaning Yaakov, brings and integrates Lashon Arami, that's why he's called an Arami in this pasuk, into the fabric of the Torah, that's something that Huchrach, because of this, Garam Shalakach Huchrach Lereid Mitzrayim, to introduce Targum and integrate into the Torah, deserves a very severe punishment. Again, we don't know exactly why. The Yesh Lefarsh Gam came, Bozeh, Shomer Bal HaGodah, Vayered Mitzrayim, Bal HaGodah, says, Vayered Mitzrayim, Molamin Shohaya, Onus Al Pi Adibur, Dafka Ratzalomer, Bishvil Shediber, Yaakov, Avinu, Loshen Arami, Lovon, Lekachaya, Onus, Lered Mitzrayim. So the Baal HaGadah, is offering an answer, response to the question, why was Yaakov onus al pi adibur? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the dibur tell Yaakov he's got to go down to Mitzrayim? And the answer is because Yaakov spoke Lashon Arami with Lavan, and as a result, the words Yigar Sadusa were recorded and integrated to the Torah. That's a violation. We cannot allow Targum and Aramis to enter into the Torah. Yaakov forced, so to speak, forced HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand to do so. And because of that, onus al pi adibur, he's got to go down to Mitzrayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Yaakov to go down to Mitzrayim because he was responsible for integrating Aramis into the Torah itself. And that's a sin that's worthy of punishment. Onus al pi adibur, he's got to go down to Mitzrayim. Now, one of the giants who goes back a few hundred years is Rav Aryeh Leib Heschke, and he writes a sefer called Leib Aryeh in his commentary on Parshas Shmos. He writes that he heard in the name of a Gadol Ador, Rabbi Shol, Al Posuk Arami Ovid Avi, and that's the quote of the Galya Rasi, which we don't have to go over right now, and therefore we could fast forward to the end of this paragraph. And he says that when the Posuk says Arami, Deka Ovid Avi, Vayerud Mitzrayim. What does it mean? Arami Oved Avi. Ratzalomer Bishvil Shehevi Avi Loshen Arami. So you have here Arami and you have Avi. And what is this telling you? That Bishvil Shehevi Avi. So the Avi at the end of this three-word phrase is a reference to Yaakov. So it's Avi Arami, and therefore Oved. Because Yaakov Avinu brought, as the Avi, brought the Arami, meaning the Lashon Aramis, into the Torah, therefore, that's going to cause a Yerida to Mitzrayim. He has to go down to Mitzrayim because of what he did in integrating or causing the integration of Targum into the Torah. That's why he has to go down to Mitzrayim. Now the Sefer Levari adds the following: Ani Avo Achrov Milesius Dvar Zeu Shomer Balagod VeYerim Mitzrayim Malamit Shaya Onus Al Pi Adibur. Why does it say Dibur? Ratzalom Bishvil She Dibur Yaakov Loshen Arami Im Love On Lekachaya Onus Lered Mitzrayim. A real chap here on one particular word in the Haggadah, which can go, you know, very easily on without our paying any attention to it. And that is the word dibur. Chazal say he was honest al pi adibur, meaning he was honest because of a dibur. And what was that dibur? That was the dibur of Lashon Arami with Lavan and Lekach, and therefore, in the aftermath of that, Hoya honest Lered Mitzrayim. As a result of the fact that Yaakov Avinu introduced Lashon Arami into the Torah, is there Oved Avi. What does Oved Avi mean? There's something that's going to be lost, and that's the Onus al Pi Adibur. And the Dibur means because of this Dibur. And then he quotes a Yalkut Ruveni, and the Yalkut Ruveni is discussing the reference to Gilad in the pasuk about the Orchas Yishmaelim that ultimately led to Yosef going down to Mitzrayim, what we call Tzoras Yosef, and that Gilad is the Gal Eid, is the reference to Gal Eid. And he says, Lefid Arkenu, Yitochen, it's possible that as we indicated earlier, Hoil Sha'omar Yaakov Gal Eid Beloshen Arami, he seems to assume that Gal Eid is in Arami, Ve'ayidekach Muchach Lered Lemitzrayma, Zeo Sharomaz Lo Tzoras Yosef. So the word Gal Eid, which is a reference to Gilad, a reference to Galeid, is bringing up and reminding us of the whole story of Yaakov speaking Aramaic and bringing Aramaic into the Torah, and that's going to be alluded to in the fact that in this very, very same pasuk in Gilad, we have the Horadas Yosef, the sale of Yosef down to Mitzrayim. And then ultimately from the fact that the son went down to Mitzrayim, the father, meaning Yaakov himself, is going to go down to Mitzrayim after Yosef, following Yosef. He quotes here the Alshech in Parshas Vayetze, who says that Lavan Amro Beloshan Arami, Shehu Loshan Miyuchad Lichitzonim, Shalkein Ein Malach Yakodesh Mevinim Oso. Wow. What's so negative about Arami? What's so terrible and tragic about introducing Arami into the Torah Kedosha? The answer is Arami is Loshon Miyuchad Lechitzonim. Now, it's not just like any other language on the face of the earth, which might be considered Parva, it's neutral. Here it's negative because this is the language of the Chitzonim. The Malachi Ashois can understand any language, but they cannot understand this language which is called Arami, because Arami is miyuchad lechitzonim. Chitzonim means those negative factors that are outside the pale of the Malach Yeshus. That's why we say in Kaddish Yehish Mei Rabba, because we don't want to insult the Malachim and by presenting a more beautiful prayer and praise that they could ever come up to or express. And by saying it in Aramaic, they don't hear Yehesh Mei Rabba. That doesn't go into their mental capacity, because this is a Losh Chitzonim She'ein Malach Yasharis Mevinim Oso. So that Yigar, Sedusa, and Gal Eid are Aramis. Ulefize Nirali, Masha'isa V'targum Yushalmi Parshat Vayetze, Vayomer, Malach Elokim B'chalom Yaakov, Vayomer Hineni. And the Targum says, Ani Bloshin Kudsha Vyomar Hineni. It means that Lavan spoke with Yaakov, to Yaakov, in Loshin Targum. And that's a Loshin that's Miyuchad Lichitzonim. And therefore Lavan is called Arami, because he spoke in Loshin Arami. But when it comes to the Malach HaKodesh, he speaks and responds to him in Loshin Kodesh. And that's what it says in Targum Yushalmi on the Pasuk Vayomer Hineni B'Loshon Kudsha in Loshon HaKodesh. When the Malach appears in the Chalom of Yaakov in order to tell Yaakov that it's high time that he left Lavan and get out of there, Yaakov was conversing in Loshon Kodesh and he said Vayomer Hineni. And that's because he's talking to a Malach HaKodesh who doesn't understand anything but Lashon HaKodesh. A Malach Omer Lo Shuv El Eretz Moladetcha. That's the Eretz of Kodesh. That's the Eretz of Lashon Kodesh. And now it could be that what the Medrash says, that Vayehi B'Tzeis Nafsha, that she, Rachel, when she died, she called Binyamin by the name of Ben Oni, B'loshan Arami. Ben Oni is Aramaic. The Aviv, Karlo B'nyom B'loshan Kodesh. Again, Yaakovin is doing a kind of a tikkun for his chet. he had fallen a little bit in so far as conversing back then with Lavan in Aramaic, and that led to Yagara Sedusa and Gal'ed being integrated into the Kedusha of Torah. But now we're saying that Yaakov did a sort of a tikkun for that, and he's very makbid on Lashon Kodesh. It's like when you call out the names of the students who came from Chutzlarts, and you see how many of those names are Chutznik names. They belong to other Lashonos. And finally, you ask a boy, well, what is your Lashon Kodesh? What's your real name that was given to you at birth, that will be on your matzeva when you die? He says, Lefi zeh nireh, Shalakach hizir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lavan Arami Yishom Lecha Midaber Im Yaakov Mitov Adra. Why the emphasis on Dibur? Don't you dare take any aggressive position against Yaakov. But, you know, when we talk about the enemy of the Jewish people, in this case Lavan at that juncture, that enemy is capable of coming to his victim and do Maisim against him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have really warned Lavan about Maisim. Why is he warning him about Dibur? And the answer apparently is because this Dibur is a Dibur of a language that is raw Eitzel HaTzadikim. So this phrase here, Diburcha hi raw Eitzel HaTzadikim, means that when you speak to Yaakov Avinu B'Loshon Arami, that has a negative impact. And when you say Yigar Sadusa, and he's going to have to answer you and respond to you in your language by saying Gilad, Gal'ed, and that's going to be recorded in the Torah. He says Targum, this Lashon Aramaic, which we call the Lashon Achitzonim, is Ra Gedola Lahavioso Im Bonav El Mitzrayim. That's going to ultimately cause the children of Yaakov to go down to Mitzrayim, Ervas Ha'aretz, Korah Barzel. All because you, Lavan, engaged Yaakov in a discussion in Aramaic, which ultimately led to an admixture of Aramaic into the Torah itself. That's right, Tzal Tzadikim. That's what HaKadosh Baruch was warning Lavan when he said, Hishom Lecha Midaber Im Yaakov Mitov Adra. And it seems that Lavan, in a sense, did not heed the words of HaKadosh Baruch and the warning of HaKadosh Baruch. And this is what Yosef means when he says, Maharu v'alu el avi, v'yamartam el kol omar bincha Yosef, somani elokim li'odon l'chol Mitzrayim rida elai, al tamot. It's almost as if Yosef is pointing a finger of accusation at his father in a way, again in a mechubedik way, because he's not doing it explicitly, that you are responsible for this whole situation that Klal Yisrael has to go down to Mitzrayim, so get yourself down to Mitzrayim, because hinei einechem roz v'chulei kimpi hamadabra aleichem. It's not my fault. I'm speaking, as Rashi said, pi hamadabra aleichem b'loshon kodesh, but you're the one who spoke to the Arami in Aramis, and that's going to cause the arena to Mitzrayim, so alochein redei al redav v'al tamot. You know, in a sense, I was more careful than you are. I mean, again, this is on a deeper level, because I'm speaking Lashon Kodesh, you're speaking Lashon Arami. And again, we have to understand that Al Pi Kabbalah, this Lashon Arami, has this element, this status of Lashon Chitzonim here in the words of the Levaria that we've been studying. And to have Lashon Chitzonim being integrated into the Torah, again, I'm not sure that Yaakov was deliberate about this, but inadvertently, he was the cause. And he could have avoided it had he not engaged Lavan in all this discussion in Lashon Hamyuchad L'chitzonim that Malachi Asharis don't understand. It's not Lashon Kodesh. So we begin to understand that Yosef was Mashbia, his brothers, at the right before his death, Pakod, Yifkod Elokim Eschem, Igolos Mitzrayim, Elasim, Esatzmosai mize itchem, I want you to take my remains to Eretz Knan, Shemet Omar, Loma bo biemes begolos Mitzrayim, velo shara rotzel, zezel makosu v'eileshmos. Eileshmos means that
Bnei Yisrael Aboy Mitzrayim Shmos Nutrikim Shnayim Mikra V'yechet Targum. That means that Hoil Shehevi Yaakov Loshen Targum B'Torah L'kach Aboy Mitzrayim. He was Gorim, that they had to suffer Mitzrayim, to go down to Mitzrayim, the Kura Barzal, it's Yaakov. Ishu Beis Obov. Yaakov is Meduyak, is the emphasis, because they came with Yaakov. Yaakov brought them down here because he had to go down to Mitzrayim because of the fact that he had spoken and introduced Loshen Targum into the Torah itself. And we'll see over and over again how the later commentaries will quote this Lev Aryeh. This is not something esoteric that's not known. And all based on the Gali Razio, that be Bavur Shehevi Yaakov Loshen Targum into the Torah. In that parsha, in that episode of Ayikolo Lavan Yigar Sadus Yakolo Galed, is Bishol Kach Bo Yisrael Begolus Mitzrayim. It's unbelievable. And Galed is a Lashon Targum. That's what they're saying. Not the way I thought that Galed is in Lashon Kodesh. And Yosef has to go down to Mitzrayim, and ultimately Yaakov has to go to Mitzrayim, and all Bnei Yisrael has to go down to Mitzrayim. The whole goal is Mitzrayim. Thus, Lichten, it's all inherent in the fact that Yaakov Avinu was responsible for introducing Loshen Targum into the Torah itself. And we begin to understand that on the Lalila of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Leil Pesach, we open up with a paragraph in Targum, because what we're really hinting at is that the Lechem Oni and all the suffering that's symbolized by the Lechem Oni is a result of the Targum. Because of the Targum, it is Galgal Adov Yardu Begolus Mitzrayim. It all comes back to the Targum. So therefore, the first paragraph in the opening introduction to the Leil Asedut the Sipur Tzitzrayim is going to be B'Loshen Arami. And afterwards, we're going to say Avodah Mayinu B'Far Mitzrayim, meaning, why are we Avodah B'Far Mitzrayim? Because Yaakov Avinu brought and introduced and integrated Arami into the Torah. That's the Goreim of Avodah Mayinu B'Far Mitzrayim, and that's what we're hinting at when we open up the Seder by speaking Aramis and then Avodah Mayinu B'Far Mitzrayim. It's the Aramis that caused us to be Yored L'Mitzrayim, to experience Golus Mitzrayim. And there is, within this paragraph of Harami, of Holach Ma'anya, there is one phrase that is Lashon Kodesh, that's B'nei Chorin. It doesn't say B'nei Chori, Chori is Aramaic. Is that we want to show a contrast, a shinui, that a person should think that this paragraph is written in Aramaic, and we say it in Aramaic because the remnants to Golus Mitzrayim, which came about because of the Lashon Arami, but V'nigalu, ultimately, how did the Bnei Yisrael get out of the Golus Mitzrayim? What extricated them? What gave them the merit is Al Shaloshinu Es Lashonam, that they go back to Lashon HaKodesh. That's called Bnei Chorin in Lashon HaKodesh. They leave behind them Lashon Arami and their Ochzim B'Lashon HaKodesh. That's the reason why they were Zocha to the Geula. So we're seeing over and over again in so many different Ramazim, in so many different Psukim, that the Golus Mitzrayim is a result of this whole parsha of Gal'ed, of Yigar Sadus, of introducing and integrating Lashon Targum into the Torah. Lashon Targum is not a good thing. That's what it comes out. And if you take a look at one of the famous Haggadahs, or Pirushim, I should say, on the Haggadahs, which is called Haggadah Shel Pesach Simchas HaChag, or Simchas HaPesach, he has a whole introduction here to the Haggadah, in which he builds himself and embellishes this Sefer of Lev Aryeh and the commentary on Parsha Shmos, and what caused this whole Golus Mitzrayim, and Arami Ovid Avi is a reference to Yaakov Avinu. He's the Avi here, and the Arami is the fact that he introduced Aramis into the Torah, the Lashon Targum into the Torah, and Targum is now something negative. It's not just the potential for Kedusha, it's the Lashon HaChitzonim itself. And because of Lashon Arami, which Yaakov Avinu was Goreim, that it should be written in the Torah. Therefore, Vayered Mitzrayim. That was the Chiddush of the Lev Aryeh in a nutshell, if we want to summarize it. And he says that opening the first Piska of the Haggadah of Lashon HaRami is a pointer to the fact that because of Lashon HaRami, our forefathers came to the Avodah of Avodas Eved and to eat the Lechem Oni. And that's what we're starting to understand when we say Halach Ma'anya as the opening Piska to Sipur to Haggadah Shel Pesach. And in a certain sense, what's going on here is that Yaakov Avinu is being accused of giving Lashon Kodesh, in a sense, a secondary status. This Haggadah, Simchas HaPesach, seems to assume, as we wanted to assume, that Gal Eid is a Hebrew translation of Yegar Sahadusa. We didn't get that impression in the other Mefarshim, and not even in the Lev Aryeh. And I'll read to you this line here in this introduction to the Haggadah. He says, Yaakov Avinu Olav Hashalom Asa Loshon HaKodesh Beis Yad L'Targum. Beis Yad means an instrument, an arm. It's a vehicle for Targum. So the by Yaakov Avinu telling us, you know what Yigar Sadusa means? It means Gal Eid. What basically Yaakov is doing is he's telling you that I want to translate the words Yegar Sadusa for you, so you should understand them. You know, usually we want to translate Lashon Kodesh so people can understand Lashon Kodesh. That puts Lashon Kodesh on a pedestal. Here, Yaakov is telling us what's the translation, what's the taich of Yegar Sadusa, so we should understand it. When you're interpreting something and translating something, it means that which you're translating is Ikar, and your translation is Tafel. And that's called making Lashon Kodesh into a Beis Yad. The Chasam Sofer in his Chidushim Achulin has a discussion about the Gemara that combines Echad Targum, Shnayim Mikra Echad Targum together with Shivrei Aluchos in one breath. And he says the following, that in the case of Shnayim Mikra Echad Targum, we have the Targum as a Klipa. Again, he sees it as something less than positive. And he says that klipa represents the klipa at the time of Shviras HaLuchos, because the Shviras HaLuchos was a result of our sin, and that he calls klipas noga, and nechza b'torah atzma. It somehow took hold of the luchos that had to be broken because of this klipa that attached itself, kaviyochol, to the luchos. And even though Hashem replaced the first set of luchos with the second, and l'chor you would say the klipa is gone, but no, it's not legamre nistalka. It's not completely gone. We need a takana. And what's the takana? We need bittel. Bittel applies when you mix something usur with two other pieces, one piece with two pieces. That's what Shnayim Mikra is all about. The klipa here, which is a result of the period of Luchos Rishonos, that klipa expresses itself or personifies itself in Targum. And when we take that Targum and we integrate it into two pieces of Mikra, of Lashon Kodesh, we're actually involved in a Bittel. We're taking the Shivrei HaLuchos and Lehepach, we're taking the Klipa that attached itself, Kaviyoch, to the Luchos HaRishonos, and we are separating them. That's the Tikkun that we're doing, and that's the Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum. So the Kedusha of the first set of Luchos still exists, even though they were broken. But the reason why they were broken is because of this admixture of attachment of klipa. And to remove that klipa, we need an act of bittel. The act of bittel is Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum, because the Targum itself, like the Shivrei HaLuchos, is klipa. It's klipas noga. And the tragedy or the catastrophe of Yagarsa Dusav Galed incorporating to the Torah to take this Klipas Noga and Nechza Ba Torah, like the Shivrei Aluchos, which is also the Klipa that's Nechza Ba, and the Tikkun process, he says, is to remove the Klipa by being Mevatel it Chad Betray. And finally, I wanted to point out to you here that there's a sefer here by Rav Chaim Zalman Cohen called Madani Chaim on Masechta Megillah, and the Gemara talks about Unkelus Hager who authored the Targum Shel Torah. But when the Torah speaks about Vayikru B'Sefer is Mefurash Zet Targum, it means that the Targum goes back to Maimon Har Sinai. The Marsha makes the point that even though Targum is in the Lashon Aramis, and the Torah certainly is in Lashon Kodesh, which is the Lashon Ivri, Me'avosenu, Me'evranor, but Pirusha, which comes through Sinai, that's the Torah Shebal Peh, the translation and the commentary, is Targum. Now, that puts Targum in a totally different light, because Targum is Lashon Aramis, and yet it's something that's given as a Pirush HaTorah at Sinai. And Hoyalehem umurgolin bo mi base avi imam lovan arami. And at the time of Har Sinai, the Jewish people were very proficient in Aramaic because that's what they learned from their Alta Zeda, meaning their maternal grandfather Lavan. And it's only later on that the Lashon Aramaic became forgotten. And that was sometime after the Tkufa, the period of Ezra and Nehemiah. But clearly, Targum Unkelus goes back to Sinai. It's a Pirush on the Torah that was given at our Sinai. And he says that according to this Marsha, we really have to understand why Ezra and Daniel, two Sfarim in Tanakh, are written in Aramaic. When we're saying that Lashon Arami is not the language of the giving of the Torah, on the contrary, we've brought all this bulk of writings of the holy Achronim to the effect Rabbi Herschel, as we saw, to the effect that Aramis is Lashon Chitzonim, etc., etc. And now we have Ezra and Daniel, two books of Tanakh that are written in Aramis. That has to be understood. And beyond that, he says, "Av she'ein lanu esek b'nistaros." This is Reb Chaim Zalman Cohen. We don't understand the mystical secrets of the Torah of him. Ne'lamim lo avo. I mean, I'm not going to be the one who can reveal that which is concealed. But ner lechalik the shiny hosom she Yaakov avinu hichnis lashon aramis be etzem Torah shebichsav. So we're talking about the fact that although Targum Unkelus was given at Har Sinai, that's Torah Shebal Peh. But what Yaakov was responsible for was introducing and integrating Lashon Aramis into Torah Shebichsav. It's not only Perusha. Perusha is Targum Unkelus, but who had the chutzpah of introducing a foreign element into Torah Shebichsav from a language which is called Aramis? And that only happens as a result of Yaakov Avinu, who is Machnis Lashon Aramis Li Etzem Torah Shebichsav. Perusha, that's fine. And he goes on to say that it could be we find other words from other languages in the Torah. For example, in Parashas Bishalach, it says Man. And the Rashbam says, Vayomer Ish Elachiv Man Hu, which means Mahu. So man, he says, is the Lashon Mitzrayim, because the Jews just came out of Mitzrayim, they got the man, and they were hot on the Lashon Mitzrayim, and that's the Lashon they spoke to. Both the Lashon Regilim Bo is therefore, they said, Mahu, what is it? They said man in Egyptian, and we translate that into Lashon Kodesh as ma. And Moshe Rabbeinu writes the language of man, which is the language in which the Jewish people ask the question, even though we no longer speak that language today. But they were asking, what is this thing? Mahu. And they said, Manhu. So this is an example where the Torah integrates the language that was spoken when it's recording a dialogue, even though that language is foreign to Lashon Kodesh. V'cheni says Sardusa, Yagar Sardusa, which is also from a different language, but that was the language that was being spoken in that dialogue between Lavan and Yaakov. He gives another example, the Pasuk in Megillas Esther, which is all Lashon Kodesh, but the Pasuk says, Hipil Pur, Hu Agorol. Now, Pur is a Persian word. It's not a Hebrew word. But nevertheless, it's used here in order to indicate the communication and the vernacular that was spoken by the Jewish people at that time in Poras. And the word Pur, which means Gorol, is the word that they used for Gorol. Hipil Pur, and since this is crucial, even the name of the holiday is Purim Al Shem Pur. So since the Megillah was written in Lashon Kodesh, but we want to know why these days, as the Megillah records, Al Kein Karu Liyom Elu Purim Al Shem Pur, what is this word Pur? This is the Hagrola, this is the Gorol and the lottery, but in a different language. In the language of the Persians, but that was the language that was spoken then, and therefore instead of Hipil Gorol, Hipil Pur. And according to the Svar of Reb Herschel, we don't know if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makpin on the fact that this was Targum, this was Aramaic, and other languages are okay, like for example, Man, as we saw in the Rashbam, which is Egyptian. Well, maybe no. The Kpeda here is on all Lashonos, anything but Lashon Kodesh. And now it comes out that Arami Ovid Ovi, according to Reb Herschel, is not the way Rashi learns Arami Ovid Ovi. Because according to Rashi, Arami Ovid Ovi is a reference to Lavan. According to Rashi, we're talking about Lavan. But it comes out, according to the Biur, the Pirush of Rav Herschel, Arami is a reference to Yaakov Avinu, meaning that he introduced Arami, and that's what the word Avi means. Arami Ovid Avi is a reference to Yaakov Avinu. So I've also, just to summarize the overview of the Shia, because it's getting late, and it's time to end the Shia, we see that there are many different interpretations of Arami Ovid Avi, but one of them is going to reveal and shed a light on the whole status of Aramaic. And in this case, the negative status of Aramaic. It's something that's the Svas HaChitzonim, as we said, the Malachi HaShoreis will never understand this language. And this Targum in Aramaic is the reason why we went down to Mitzrayim. It makes sense now that the Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum, which is a kind of a tikkun, as we saw, according to the Ksam Sofer, it's a bittul of the Targum. It's taking something that's osur and mixing it up with two equal pieces of heter, and therefore being mevatali. So that's what we're doing with Shnayim Mikra V'Yechid Targum, but it makes sense that this should be here when we're reading the Parshios of Haboy Mitzrayim of Golos Mitzrayim, because it's Bnei Yisrael, Haboy Mitzrayim, Yaakov Ishu Besobo. Because of Yaakov they came down to Mitzrayim, because Yaakov was responsible in one way or another for introducing Targum and Aramaic into the Torah itself. And that's what's going to cause the Bnei Yisrael Haboy Mitzrayim going down to Golos Yiratzon, that we should be Zoche to appreciate the myriad and deep meanings of the Torah. Some are revealed and some are concealed. And they teach us about the significance of Lashon Kodesh. And we should be Zoche, therefore, to the Geula. If the Golos came about because we weren't as careful as we should be about Lashon Kodesh, and instead we introduced into the fabric of the Torah itself a Lashon Aramis, which is Lashon Chitzonim, then we have to hope that the Geula itself, in a parallel sort of way, will come about as a result of our dedication to everything that's Kodesh, to Lashon Kodesh, to Eretz HaKodesh, and all the above. And Amir Hashem, the flip side of Zelu Mazeh, the Tikkun for the Haboy Mitzrayim of the Elish Mos B'nei Yisrael, Yaakov Ishu Besobo, the introduction and integration of a foreign tongue, a Lashon HaChitzonim, into the Torah Kedosha, and our possibility of Tikkun is Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum, which is Ramuz in the word Shmos here at the beginning of this parsh, in the beginning of this Sefer Shmos, and the Shnayim Mikra Vechet Targum is the attempt or the effort on our part to take Targum and integrate it into the Torah in a way that is batel, in a way that it is integrated, in a way of birur hanitzotzos and halos hakedusha, and that zelu mazeli, opposite of golus, we should be zochet to the gula shleima b'mehirav yameinu amen.